Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading today comes from Mark 13, 24 to 37 from the New Revised Standard Version. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
And we thank God for the gift of God's holy word. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I begin my sermon today with a sentence that I bet maybe you yourself say, you know, at least a few times a week, maybe. So I was down at the Giant Eagle, all right? And I was at the Giant Eagle, and I saw a mom pushing her daughter in the shopping cart. And I was sort of, it was one of those deals where you were sort of following the same people, you're all on the same path. And we're in the cookie aisle, and the little girl was probably 3, maybe 4 years old, I'm not sure. And she said, Mommy, can we have cookies? You know, and mom said no, and the little girl started to whine and cry and just generally fuss about. And the mom very quietly, she said, Now Melissa, please understand, it's not gonna be that much longer. Don't get upset, we only have half the aisles to go through. It's gonna be okay. And so then I followed mom and baby into the candy aisle. And of course, when they got to the candy aisle, again, little girl, seeing all that candy, you can't blame her, right? Oh, please, mom, can we have this? Can we have this? And she was really upset. She was throwing even the other things out of the cart right now, all that good for you stuff. And mom said, Melissa, I'm telling you, dear, just don't cry, don't get upset, everything's gonna be fine, try not to be upset, Melissa, okay, just 5 more minutes. And then, of course, I'm behind them in the checkout line, and there's the gum, and there's all the impulse buys. And one more time, the little girl's very upset because she can't have the Kinder Joy, you know, that kind of thing. And she's, and that's when the mom says, Melissa, 5 more minutes. That's all it's going to be. And then we can go home and take a nap. Melissa, just hang on. And so I followed them out into the parking lot, you know, and I said, I really just want to share my admiration for you because, you know, I've never been a mom, but the patience that you showed little Melissa, that was just absolutely wonderful. And the mom looked at me and said, I'm Melissa, my daughter's Tiffany. Yeah, that's quite good. Good. But be patient. Hold on, right? It's so easy just to wait. It's so easy just to take a deep breath and calm down, isn't it? Isn't that just, it's just so easy. When somebody says to you, you know, just wait, that's what we love to hear, isn't it? Right? We love to hear that. And since the 5th century, they've been saying, patience is a virtue. Good things come to those who wait. But it doesn't make it any easier, I don't think. In fact, a whole Texas, like, healthcare system, they did this whole study to figure out ways that it would be easier for patients to pass that waiting time. What would make it less stressful? What would make patients less irritated? And the key was, if the patients could know how long they had to wait, that made the difference. Because, you know, as soon as you tell a child or you tell another adult you're going to have to wait, our next question is, well, how long? How long do I have to wait? And there's something to that psychology. It makes it easier if we are told, apparently, just how long that wait is going to be. Think about the last time that you were on hold. Have you been on hold? And very often now they will say, expected wait time is 10 minutes. Or expected wait time is 3 days. Right, exactly. And sometimes they don't tell you, they just say, you could leave a callback number and we'll get back to you next year. Sometimes they do that, it's really. But usually they will tell you what the expected wait time is. And I like that. That does help me because then I feel I have a little bit more control. Okay, I can wait 10 minutes, right? The worst thing for me is whenever I ask the question, well, how long? And somebody says, soon. How long till we get there? Soon. When will dinner be ready? Soon. When's the cable guy coming? Soon. And then there's much more difficult questions, you know? When will I find out if I got the job or not? Soon. When will the test results be back from the medical procedure? Soon. When will God's will finally be done on earth as it is in heaven? Soon. But when? God's people have been asking this question forever. The Psalms are filled with this question, how long, O Lord? The prophets, Habakkuk, how long, O Lord, how long? And if you've ever been to, I don't recommend the website, but raptureready.com, we know that there are a lot of organizations and people out there who like to look in Scripture and find ways to look for signs and tell exactly when the Son of Man is coming back. We try to do that. We want to know. We want to predict. And now, today, we come to the beginning of Advent, and again, it's a period of waiting. We're at the beginning of the church year. This is now year B. Happy New Year. And we're at the end of another standard time year. And I don't know about you, but I look around and the world is in so much turmoil. And here you are, you poor dears, you have a guest minister this morning, and how many of you are pessimists? Anybody a pessimist? I'm a pessimist. Anybody an optimist? I'm not an optimist. I want to be. In fact, I'm not even a pessimist. I'm what Anderson Cooper calls a catastrophist. Yeah. So when I read this morning's passage, I couldn't believe it. I groaned. And I thought about this all week. I thought, great, it's the first Sunday of Advent. All is calm. All is bright. This Sunday of Advent is about hope. Yeah, right. Look how it starts off. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Now, I know there's more to the passage, But for some reason, I got stuck there this week. And I was complaining about it to my friend Joyce. And she's definitely an optimist. I think she's a little bit of a Pollyanna. And I'm going on and on about how I'm just really worried about preaching this Sunday, you know, at Fair Oaks and here. And I'm going on and on about how this is supposed to be the Sunday of hope. And this is the lectionary text. I said, you're not going to believe it. You're going to hear it when you go to Bethlehem Lutheran. You're going to hear it. And she said, oh, well, let me read it. And so she read it. And she looked at me like I had lost my mind. And she said, what are you talking about? This is beautiful. This is about hope. And I said, what? Read it again. And so I did. I read it again. I read the beginning. But in those dark days after that, the suffering, the sun will be darkened and it won't. And then I just went on my rant. I said, hope, what are you talking about? This is right now where we're living, and all the doomsday sayers are right. There's war in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Sudan. There's systemic racism, the rise of fascism around the world, addiction, depression. Your mom is sick, and Charlie's son is depressed. And she took my hands, and she looked at me very calmly, and she said, yes. But read it all. Keep reading. This passage is all about hope. And I read it again. Son of man descending, angels, God's power. Okay. Tender fig leaves. Yeah. And I looked at her and I wanted to say, remember, I'm your boss. But I didn't. I said, okay, that's great. This is all going to be wonderful stuff, but when? And then she said something that I know is true, but I'd forgotten it. She said, it's now. And I thought, this Joyce, she is going through so much more than I'm going through. She reminded me of the powerful signs of Christ's reign, of God's love that are right here, right now, even in the midst of the mess, that it's the both and. She reminded me that in the Sunday school class that we're in, we're reading this great book. It's called Barking to the Choir. If you want a very uplifting book, it's by Jesuit priest Gregory Boyle. And he, 30 years ago, started the largest gang rehabilitation and prison reentry program in the world. It's called Homeboy Industries. And they have more than 10,000 ex-gang members going through their doors every year, discovering the worthiness of themselves and discovering the way that they are given the power to transform their lives by remembering that they are children of God. And then she reminded me about the parent circle. Have you heard of them? I had not either. Oh, I had heard about it and then I forgot in my catastrophism. The parent circle. They were formed in the late 1990s by Israeli and Palestinian parents whose children have died in the ongoing fighting over the years. And they are more active now today in this current part of the terrible crisis that is going on than they have been before. And they have a joint vision for a just peace through nonviolent means for all Palestinians and Israelis. And we were at the library and she said, and look in the faces of every Yaya that's here, of every Mimi, of every Mommy, and every Daddy and Auntie who brings these precious kids to story time at the library. She told me that when I go to Fair Oaks today at the assisted living where I'm chaplain, she said, look into the eyes of each and every one of your people that I know you love. She told me to look at the rising sun and into the beauty of the dark night. And I was humbled into silence. And I did remember something that Greg Boyle had written. He said that we often hear the adage, when one door closes, another door opens. But the truth is, in between, there's often a hallway. And sometimes that hallway is quite long. And sometimes that hallway can feel like a hellway. And our job is to line the hallway for one another and make that wait from the old to the new easier to navigate. Because we're all in different parts of the hallway, and sometimes that hallway can feel like heaven, and sometimes it can feel like hell, and yet we are all with one another. And our God is encircling us all. My friend Danny, she has three little boys now, and they are just full of energy, and they are not full of patience. And when they whine, "When will dinner be ready?" she says to them, "Boys, dinner will be ready. I'm getting ready now. I promise you, you'll get your dinner. You can either help me, and dinner will come faster, or you can keep on whining, and it will take as long as it will take. And if you help, dinner will get done faster." And the boys help. We are waiting. We are waiting. And like we already have prayed, like we pray every week, we pray, "Our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it is done often, sometimes. But that day is coming when God's will always be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until that day, we, as Christ's hands and feet, can help one another out and help alleviate the stress and the hell of that wait, until all is calm and all is bright. Amen.